Here's where many, they repeat these words without even thinking about it, and lead us not into temptation. If God were to give us over to our own thoughts and thinking, I will tell you, we would immediately go astray. And we're going to see that in the illustration of David. God in his sovereignty caused David to make some choices that had an effect of consequences on people's lives. This is a reminder that if the Lord doesn't keep us, we'll not be kept. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. Continue to deliver us from evil. Don't think evil in terms of just what's out there. The greatest evil we carry around in this flesh. This heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? May the Lord continue to deliver us even from ourselves and our thinking. Then, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the one I love. The first thing that I see in verse 1 is a pleasant, calming scene of repose, of peace, unlike anything that we ever strive for on this earth. I know that my peace was settled with God in Christ, and yet so much of this life is a struggle, isn't it? In this flesh, in this world, the circumstances, things that come and rob us of the joy of salvation. And what I see here is all that being removed. And truly perfect worship being a reality. I'd love to say that I've worshiped the Lord perfectly here on earth, but I'd be lying. Even after being blessed with readings of Scripture, and there are certain times when the Lord will kind of open your mind and heart to certain portions and you rejoice, but how fleeting it is, how quickly that fades away and our thoughts go off into tomorrow and what I have to do, or even this afternoon. All of these things, the cares of this world that just come and choke out the word. But in glory, none of that.
Religion loves to get people to pledge, you know, pledge to do so much, pledge to read through the Bible this year, pledge to give so much. You need so much money, so everybody give above their 10% and don't give just on the net, give on the gross. And all of these commitments, come down the aisle and commit and recommit for the Lord, is what they say. It's not for the Lord, but it's doing it for the bidding of whoever's doing the bidding. In fact, the Scriptures, if you look in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, they warn against us being snared with our words. But I can tell you, the Lord Jesus was never snared by his words, never had to go back on his word. That should give us some confidence that as the surety for the Father, on behalf of his people, his word is sure. Here in Ecclesiastes 5, we're warned in verse 1, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. What's the sacrifice of fools? That's all that pledging. That's all that speaking. That's all that testifying. Who's going to commit today to go out and speak to one new person every day this week and try to get them to make a decision for Jesus? And then bring them. Who's going to bring them next Sunday so that we've got these chairs full here? Can you imagine these empty chairs now? So put the guilt on it. People like stand up and raise their hand. Why? Because they want to be seen of men. They want to disappoint the preacher. And so they're forced into giving the sacrifice of fools. It says, for they consider not that they do evil. I'll tell you, anything that's not done, motivated by the spirit of grace in the heart, is evil.